for companies.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC, medium density residential, residential planned community district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 94.7 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the north and south side of Jeans Alley, on the south side of the intersection of Jeans Alley and Burton Farm Road, which is Sussex County Route 373, and the west side of Horseplay Way, which is access from the west side of Roxana Road, which is Route 17, approximately 0.48 miles south of Pepper's Corner Road, which is Sussex County Route 365. The 911 address is 34311 Horseplay Way and 33736 and 33737 Jeans Alley, Frankfurt. And the tax parcel ID is, and there are multiple, District 134, Map 15, Parcel 15.01, 1502, 17.12, 17.16, 17.17, and 17.18. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. We have a copy of the State Plus comments. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which includes the applicant's TIS review, and it also includes a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C review. Response, and we have a copy of the staff review letters for the development, a copy of the DelDOT TIS review letter response. We have a copy of a letter received from the local school district. We have a copy of comments received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have the Technical Advisory Committee comments, including comments received from the State Fire Marshal's Office, comments received from the Delaware Electric Co-op, comments received from Delmarva Power, comments received from the State Division of Watershed Stewardship, and also another letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department. And I would note that as of 4 o'clock this afternoon, we have zero comments.
Okay, thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing the applicant, the Christopher Companies. Before I go too much further, congratulations and welcome, Mr. Allen. Congratulations to the new leadership, and I guess the ascension to the throne. has occurred. Mr. Whitehouse, did you receive the email I sent with the slides?
I did, and bear with me 2 seconds. Just
As Mr. Whitehouse looks for those, I'll introduce the team that's with me here this afternoon. Sitting in the third row to my left and your right is John Regan and Carmen Marinelli, representatives from the Christopher Companies, the applicant that I am representing. Sitting in front of them, all the way in the front row, are the owners of the property. And then sitting to my right and your left, as you look at me, is Jim Erickson, a professional engineer with Solutions IPEM, who are the project engineers.
Distracting him over here.
Apologies, Mr. Hutt. We're just multitasking for a moment. Yeah.
It's okay. As indicated by Mr. Whitehouse when he introduced the application, this public hearing is for a change of zone application that encompasses six tax parcels totaling 94.7 acres of land. The application seeks to change the zoning classification of those properties from their current AR1 agricultural residential district classification to an MRRPC designation, which of course is the county's medium density residential district with a residential plan community overlay. More specifically, the MRRPC application proposes 320 units with a mixture of two styles of single family homes, one being your within a condominium ownership regime and the other being your conventional lot ownership regime. And then another type of housing that would be provided here is townhomes. This afternoon, you will hear two primary themes throughout my presentation. The first is how this property was carefully selected based upon the land planning tools that are promulgated by the state of Delaware, specifically the Office of State Planning Coordination, by Sussex County through the Comprehensive Plan and its zoning code, and then, of course, through, in addition to that, the town of Millville, which is adjacent to this property. The second theme is how the site plan was carefully tailored when it was designed to match the physical characteristics of this property as well as the surrounding properties. As I typically do, I'll help to orient everyone to the location of this property and then describe those land planning guideposts that I just mentioned a moment ago, and then review the site plan. Now, the property is located just off of Burton Banks Road. If you look at the images on the screen, Burton's Farm Road is the roadway that you can see at the very top of the screen, and you can see the access point to the community. If you were to travel on Burton Farm Road, that is a road that many of you are familiar with, and it on the western side of that road is Jones Road. On the eastern side of that road is Powell Farm Road. Of course, if you turn onto Powell Farm Road, that takes you directly to Route 17 or Roxana Road. Mr. Allen, I know you're new. There are two things that I have a curious fascination for. One is history, and the other is roads that change name just because they intersect another road. And this is one of those intersections. If you go across Route 17 or Roxana Road from Powell Farm Road, as you get to the other side of Route 17, it of course changes its name to Pepper's Corner Road at that location. If you were traveling from this proposed community and you made your way to Route 17 and then made a left, of course, onto Route 17, that would, of course, take you into you'd be in the municipal limits of the town of Millville, and you would also go past, on your left-hand side, would be the new southern campus for BB Healthcare, and then, of course, you'd be right into, up into the town of Millville. Significant to this application, whether you're on Burton Farm Road, Powell Farm Road, or Route 17, you're in the municipal limits of the town of Millville, and specifically, you're within the project that everyone knows as Millville by the Sea, and specifically the western village of Millville by the Sea. There we go. It's very, very touchy mouse. What is on the screens right now is the western village for Millville by the Sea. The property that we are here on this afternoon is right where the cursor is located, right here, so it's adjacent to Millville by the Sea. What has received approval, final approval, as most of you are probably familiar, Millville by the Sea is a master plan community, and that master plan community, the master plan was approved, but then various phases go back through the town of Millville's approval process. Two of these phases in the West Village have reached final approval through the town of Millville, and they are Phase A1 and Phase A2, which are these phases here along Powell Farm Road as you head out towards Route 17 and Roxana Road. The other stages are still conceptual. You can see there's a mixture of single-family lots and townhomes, just as is proposed this afternoon with Flyaway Farms. The majority of this property that we're talking about this afternoon has been used agriculturally for many years, that it has included the raising of various types of livestock and, of course, the growing of crops. There's a property that is immediately south of these properties that is within the 10-year Agricultural Preservation District, and is known as the Hudson's Heritage Expansion of the Hickman's Farm District. With that brief orientation to the location of this property, I wanted to specifically review the property's designations on the various land planning tools that I mentioned at the outset. Starting with the 2020 State Strategies Map that's promulgated by the Office of State Planning Coordination. As the commission is familiar, there are generally four designations unless something is out of play, but there are investment levels 1 through 4. This property lies in investment levels 2 and 3. The state when it promulgates those maps, describes investment level two as follows. It states that in investment level two areas, like investment level one areas, state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities, promote other transportation options, foster efficient use of existing public and private investments, and enhance community identity and integrity. It goes on to state that investments should encourage departure from typical single-family dwelling developments and promote a broader mix of housing types and commercial sites, encouraging compact mixed-use development where applicable. Overall, the state's intent is to use its spending and management tools to promote well-designed development in these areas. Such development provides for a variety of housing types, user-friendly transportation systems, essential open spaces and recreational facilities, other public facilities and services to promote a sense of community. In short, this is where the state anticipates and encourages growth, and more specifically, as you just heard, encourages a departure from single-family dwelling developments, just as is proposed this afternoon. We have a mixture of housing types that are being provided for as part of this application, and we hope, of course, that the Planning Commission will agree that this is a well-designed community as the presentation is presented and as you've looked at the materials. With that guidance from the Office of State Planning Coordination, we would look, of course, at a necessity at the Sussex County's Comprehensive Land Use Plan, and specifically the 2008, most recent version, the 2018 plan, and Chapter 4 of that plan, which is the future land use chapter, and within that, the 2045 future land use map, which identifies areas that the county anticipates growth. When you look at the 2045 future land use map, this property is designated as being within the coastal area, which is one of the county's seven growth areas. And in fact, everything that surrounds this property is either in that same exact coastal area, or it's within the municipality's area, which is, of course, another growth area for the county. In this case, that municipality's area is just a reference to the fact that this property is adjacent to the town of Millville. When it describes the coastal area in Chapter 4, the future land use chapter, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan states that the coastal area is a growth area where a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units, which of course matches, again, this afternoon's application. In that Chapter 4, as the Commission is familiar, there is a table, 4.5-2, and that table is entitled Zoning District Applicable to Future Land Use Categories. And you can look at the various future land use categories, and then it has a corresponding list of applicable zoning districts. When you look at that list, in the coastal area, the MR, medium density residential district, is one of the applicable zoning classifications within the coastal area. After looking at those two planning tools, the zoning map was then reviewed for this property. As mentioned, the property is presently zoned AR1, agricultural residential, seeking a designation of MR with an RPC overlay. The zoning classification of the properties immediately adjacent to this property are also in the AR1 agricultural residential district, except where the property is adjacent to the municipal limits of the town of Millville, and specifically Millville by the Sea. And in those locations, that property has the designation of a master plan community, as I referenced a moment ago. If you look at the various boundaries, of course, the boundaries for the town of Millville go in and out with various property ownership. If you look where it is adjacent, there are other zoning classifications just outside the municipal limits of Millville. You would see that there's several properties that are zoned GR, and then one that is surrounded by the town of Millville that is zoned MR within the county's zoning classification and zoning on its zoning map. And I point this out because the properties that are just outside of the municipal limits are zoned MR and GR. And of course, what's sought this afternoon is MR. As the commission is familiar, there is little distinction, if any, between the GR and MR zoning classifications with respect to things like bulk area standards. One of the current land use discussion topics that is going on in the county right now is to try to direct development to areas specifically designated for growth. I just mentioned the state strategies level for this property, which would indicate that this property certainly checks that box. I mentioned the future land use map for the county, and it checks that box. But part of that discussion also talks about trying to orient future development in Sussex County towards being adjacent to municipalities, which are inherently growth areas and areas where typically you're going to have things like central water and central sewer and transportation. As I mentioned, this property does check the box for the state strategies map in the coastal area. And so the next most logical question for someone who's trying to plan something on this land is, should this land be part of the town of Millville? Should it be part of Millville by the Sea, for example? And the answer to that is set forth in the town of Millville's future land use chapter of its comprehensive plan. And as was shown in the project book materials, within their future land use map, this property is not designated for annexation. There's various properties that surround the town that are. This is not one of them. And so you would have to try to change their comprehensive plan in order to do that. But instead of doing that, of course, we're here this afternoon on this change of zone application because the county and the state have recognized this as a growth area within the county. Thus, that is why the application is here. It's also interesting, and again, this goes back to my comment earlier, Mr. Allen, about two of my fascinations. I always go back in time and look at what some of those maps looked like in their prior iterations, whether it's the state strategies map or the future land use map in the comprehensive plan. Within the project book materials, we showed how starting in 2010, this was a level four area, but then of course Millville by the Sea occurred, lands were annexed into the town of Millville, and then as time has progressed, both the state and the county have now recognized this area just immediately to the west of Millville by the Sea as a growth area. And again, you can just see that change over time as Millville has expanded. And again, that goes back to my comment a moment ago. That's one of the current topics. Of course, that's not what was being thought of 10 years ago when these things were growing and changing. But one of the current topics is to direct development to be closer to the municipalities and their respective growth areas. This afternoon's application seeks to change the zoning classification of the property to the county's MR district as the base or underlying zoning classification. The zoning code defines the purpose of the MR district as follows. The purpose of this district is to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are or which are expected to become generally urban in character, but where sanitary sewers and public water supplies may or may not be available at the time of construction. And this is an apt description of this area. As just reviewed, there is a mixture of zoning classifications between the town of Millville and when you look at the areas that are just immediately outside the town of Millville. And you can see some of those include medium and higher density zoning classifications, including, of course, the large master plan community immediately adjacent to the property. This afternoon's application is for the 320 units with that mixture that I mentioned at the outset. That mixture specifically is 87, what I'll call traditional lot ownership, single family detached homes, 72 condominium ownership, single family detached homes, and then 161 townhomes. The gross density for this application is 3.38 units to the acre. As the commission is likely familiar, within a residential plan community, there's a different density calculation that's used. You can either, I think, call it the residential plan community density or a net density. And essentially what it states in section 115-126 of the code is that certain deductions need to be made from the gross area of the parcel when you're calculating density. And those deductions are for things like churches, schools, tidal wetlands or state wetlands, commercial uses, and then either 25% or the actual area involved in the streets and roads that are within the community. In this application, the only one of those deductions that would apply is the deduction for the streets, and the streets total 12.32 acres. And when you subtract that from the 94.7 acres and finish the math formula on that, the resulting net density or residential plan community density is 3.88 units to the acre. That is consistent with the density, and actually less than the density, of several other residential projects in the area. On the images around the room, of course, this property is highlighted in either pink or purple. As you know, colors are not my strong suit. The other communities are outlined in a yellow or tan color. Millville by the Sea has a density, overall density of the project, of 4.2 units to the acre. Of course, when you look at it, there are certainly places in Millville by the Sea that there are communities that have a much higher density, and then some open space areas, and then communities with just single family homes or commercial areas. Ascend by the Sea, which is between this property and the Beebe campus, has a density of 7.3 units to the acre. Bishop's Landing, which you can see just a little further up Route 17, has a density of 3.5 units to the acre. And then there's others like Sherwood Acres that have a density of 3 units to the acre. The 6 parcels that make up the application this afternoon were selected for this project because of all those characteristics and the guidance from the state strategies maps, the county's future land use plan, and then referencing, of course, the town of Millville's plans for this area. After confirming the appropriateness of this project based upon those land planning tools, the property itself was studied very carefully. As noted earlier, this is, in addition to being a change of zone application, part of that change of zone involves an overlay of a residential plan community. And section 115-118 of the Sussex County Code states that the purpose of that overlay, the RPC overlay, is to encourage large-scale developments as a means of creating a superior living environment through unified developments, and to provide for the application of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments and achieving the goals of the comprehensive plan. In order to create that superior living environment, or as it was referred to in the description for level 2 in the Office of State Planning Coordination's State Strategies Manual, a well-designed community, the property was studied to determine its primary ecological factors. Of course, not only is that consistent with good planning, and in fact, the county code recognizes that in a couple ways, one with respect to RPCs, but also if someone were to do a cluster subdivision, the first step is to identify those environmental or ecological factors and then proceed from there. It's also consistent and matches exactly what the Office of State Planning Coordination said in its plus review letter. It noted, or stated rather, that because level 3 is present on the site, the state requests that if this parcel contains environmental concerns or other constraints to development, based on comments from state agencies below, the applicant and the local jurisdiction should work with state agencies to design the site with respect to those environmental features, which will help create a more sustainable development. So one of the first things that occurred when this property was placed under contract was to delineate the wetlands, and a name that you're familiar with, Ed Linnae, with Environmental Resource Insights, went out to the property and performed a delineation of the wetlands, which showed the existence of 4.3 acres of non-tidal wetlands in this area where the cursor is located on the screen right now. It will come as no surprise that those wetlands are within the forested area or wooded area of the property. You can see on some of the shading that there is an area of woods that is right here in this section of the property. The other primary features of this property are the two tax ditches at both the eastern and western boundary. On the eastern boundary of the property, you would have the Beaver Dam Canal, and then on the western boundary, you have Blackwater Creek. If you could, and you probably have it on a better view in front of you rather than the distance and looking at fine print, but right about the middle of the property here, there is a prong that basically goes between those two tax ditches, and the same occurs, there's another prong at the southern boundary of the property. After identifying those features and determining which of those are resources under section 115-193 of the Sussex County Code, a resource buffer management plan, which is the image that you see on the screen, was developed for the property. That plan was developed with through the engineers at both Geotechnology Associates as well as Solutions IPEM. And you can see that along all of the various items that are resources, there are resource buffers A and B, and then as the code allows, there is some averaging that occurs in various locations. The resource buffer A is shown in green around the screens, and that is the buffer, of course, that's closest to the resource. And then there's a resource buffer B, which is shown as either a tan or a brown on those screens around the room. And then where you can see the cross-hatching is areas where that averaging has occurred. There's an averaging here, and then by the entrance, and then this would be the area that was added to that resource buffer B in order to complete the averaging process. After delineating the wetlands on the property and then identifying the resources that you can see on the screen, were then laid out with that mixture of housing styles and types that I just noted. As you can see exactly how the site was designed to incorporate all of those various resource buffers and be the appropriate distances away as required by code, and in many cases exceeding it. The land plan was also preserved or prepared in such a way, as you can see, that there's this area where the wetlands is located and which is the primary wooded area on the property is left undisturbed. In fact, the open space, this is open space area A, that is along this side of the property, is a 19.6 acre area, which is 20% of the property. I know oftentimes the Planning Commission gets individuals who ask, that they see site plans and get criticized because site plans have open space that doesn't always relate to whatever the feature is on the property or doesn't provide for a contiguous area of open space. And so that was specifically kept in mind as this site plan was developed to have this area where the wetlands are and the wooded area as part of that open space area, preserving the space as not only open space, but of course a habitat area for wildlife. With that background, I did want to more formally review the site plan. And then, as I mentioned at the outset, the part of the goal of this application was to match. We looked at the site plan from Millville by the Sea and make sure that things were consistent with that character that is being set in this area, and also take into account the ecological features that were just referenced. Like Millville by the Sea, what's proposed is the mixture of homes that you can see here. But for right now, I guess we'll start at the entrance to the community. The entrance to the community is off of Burton Farm Road. This is a full entrance with a right-hand turn lane and a left-hand turn lane. As you enter the community, you would go along the western boundary, and then you would be welcomed by the primary amenity area that you can see here, which would be right at the end, as it were, of the entrance road. In that amenity area, as you can see, there's a proposed clubhouse, a proposed pool, as well as some sports courts. And looking at this from a design standpoint as well, it is hoped that a school bus would use that parking lot or that area as the place to pick up children, because they could come in and go right around the roads and circulate through there without ever having to do any backup maneuvers, and also, of course, plenty of parking for parents or guardians for their children. A moment ago, I mentioned the 19-acre open space on this western side of the property, but that is just one of the open space areas. You can see there are other open space areas along the eastern boundary, then down the center of the property where the center prong is located, and then other open spaces associated with stormwater management features. In total, the open space totals 43.2 acres or 45.6% of the site. I've mentioned a couple times the wooded area by the wetlands. Presently on the entirety of the property, there are 16.6 acres that are wooded. What is proposed is to maintain 69.6% of those, or 11.5 of those acres. And certainly while saving virtually 70% of the trees on a property is a great outcome, it should also be noted that some of that number, there's sort of what I'll call ribbons of trees that exist on the property. You can see them, and those are part of the other 30%. So those are not like a wooded forest area. Those are, I'll call them just a line or row of trees. And so the actual preservation of the primary wooded area is actually would be a higher percentage if we took out some of those ribbons of trees that exist on the property. In addition to the primary amenity area, when you enter the community, there is a pocket park that's located on the other side of that wooded wetland area, approximately where the cursor is located. In addition, there is a walking path that avoids the, of course, the wetlands, but would connect residents to the sidewalk network by the central amenity area and provide access and the ability to walk through that wooded area on the western side of the property. What is proposed, of course, is sidewalks on both sides of the street, and in addition to the walking path I just mentioned, there are other walking paths that bisect some of the open space areas that exist. You can see them in various locations, and these would, of course, encourage walking throughout the community, pedestrian and resident interaction throughout. The perimeter of the property will have a minimum, is proposed as a minimum 20-foot landscape buffer where drainage features do not exist. Where the drainage features exist, there are easements that keep improvements significantly further away than 20 feet. As you can see from the shading that shows the various resource buffers, there is a significant gap between the boundaries of the property and where the lots start on the eastern, southern, and western side of the property. In fact, one of the superior design features, part of the county code states that if a property is being developed next to an agricultural area, that there can be no structures within 50 feet that require a certificate of occupancy. And that is not a setback, that is just an area 50-foot agricultural separation distance, but on this application, for the properties that are adjacent to agricultural areas on the eastern side as well as the southern side, that has been treated as a setback. It's actually shown on the site plan as a 50-foot setback, and it is the dashed line right outside of the resource buffer line, and you can see there's even a further gap from that 50-foot area to where the homes and residences begin on the property. The FEMA maps show this property as being located within Zone X, which is an area outside of the 500-year floodplain. Public utilities are available to the site. Artesian Resources, which as you know is a public utility, has provided a willing and able letter indicating that Artesian Water Company, Inc. can provide central water to the property, and Artesian Wastewater Management, Inc. can provide central sewer services to the property. Chapter 89 of the Zoning Code describes source water protection areas. There are none on this property. The property is not located within a wellhead protection area, and the property is located in a fair groundwater recharge area. A property owners association will be created to manage and govern the common areas within the community, which would include the resource buffers, the amenities that were just discussed, as well as, of course, all of the other typical common ownership, homeowner ownership matters. In fact, part of that, I did want to provide Mr. Robertson and Mr. Whitehouse. I think Mr. Robertson is the one who reviews these, but a sample set of declarations indicating that there would be a property owners association that would govern those areas within the community. The property is located within the Indian River School District, and the applicant will coordinate with the district on the location of a bus stop. As I mentioned, one of the initial thoughts is that the bus stop would be at the central amenity area. As is required for these projects, a service level evaluation request was filed with DLDOT. DLDOT responded and indicated that the traffic impact for this proposed community is a major impact, as that term is defined in Sussex County's Memorandum of Understanding with Delta. When that is the determination that's made, the next step is for a traffic impact study to be conducted. That traffic impact study was prepared by Betty Tustin with the traffic group, a traffic engineer who I believe the Planning Commission is familiar with. As the Planning Commission knows, after the traffic impact study review is completed by the engineer at the traffic group, it is then sent to DLDOT, and the result of the back and forth between the applicant and DLDOT is a TIS review letter. Mr. Whitehouse, when he introduced the application, talked about the TIS and the TIS review letter being part of the record for this matter. And at the bottom of the first page of DLDOT's TIS review letter is one of the more remarkable things I've seen in a TIS review letter in my time doing this. As it states at the first paragraph at the bottom of the page, none of the study intersections exhibited level of service deficiencies. When DLDOT studied this, there were not with this community and its impact upon build out, there were no level of service deficiencies. For
intersections, isn't that how it read?
Right, I mean, that's what a traffic impact study reviews.
Intersections.
Yeah. But just because there's no level of service deficiencies doesn't change the fact that there are still certain requirements, of course, that a project must undertake. Specifically, as I mentioned, one of the items is a full access entrance to the community, which would include right-hand and left-hand turn lanes, providing a bike lane adjacent to the right-hand turn lane into the community, and then making an equitable share contribution towards the future construction of a roundabout. And that roundabout is the one that I mentioned earlier where the road changes names. Maybe it'll make more sense to change names after you go through a circle than if you go straight across the road. But at the Powell Farm Peppers Road intersection with Roxana Road, there's a future roundabout, and this project would make an equitable contribution to that. In the project book, there are a number of items. Mr. Whitehouse referenced things that were in the project book that were filed separately, as well as other items. Just to highlight a couple of those items, there is a response to the PLUS report from the Office of State Planning Coordination. There's an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report because this is in the coastal area. There is also a summary of compliance with the factors in Chapter 99-9C. And as the commission knows, that provides a good working checklist of considerations for various types of land use applications. In addition, within the materials, there's a number of references to the comprehensive plan beyond just Chapter 4 future land use, which of course I've referenced a number of times throughout the presentation. Other areas and chapters within the comprehensive plan that this project complies with are Chapter 5, Conservation, Chapter 6, Recreation and Open Space, Chapter 7, Utilities, Chapter 8, Housing, and Chapter 12, Community Design. And the application of that and the appropriateness of this for each of those various chapters is set forth in those materials. Three of the common threads that currently exist in Sussex County in land use discussions are traffic, affordable housing, and funding of emergency services. With respect to traffic, I just covered that a moment ago. You've heard how this project does not result in deficiencies in level of service at the various studied intersections as part of the traffic impact study review. With respect to affordable housing, this is carefully planned and reviewed, and in looking at it, it is not as well situated as certain other properties are for the placement of affordable housing, for instance, the Sussex County Rental Program, or one of those other types of programs, as it is just beyond the threshold for a collector road. And of course, access to public transportation would be more difficult from a site like this. As those various tools would not apply, the applicant recognized that there is a need to assist with affordable housing in Sussex County. And is proffering a contribution of $2,250 per building permit to be contributed to either the Sussex County Housing Trust Fund or Habitat for Humanity. or a similar organization that assists with affordable housing in Sussex County. Christopher Company's preference, if it got to make a preference on that, would be that the money go to Habitat for Humanity. In other locations, it has a very good working relationship and has participated in programs similar to this and assisted with the construction of many homes. And so, again, leave it to the county's ultimate discretion as with respect to the location and placement of those funds. But at $2,250 per building permit, the result is a contribution of $720,000 towards affordable housing from the Flyaway Farms community. Similarly, with respect to emergency services, the applicant is proffering a contribution that $250 be made with each building permit to the Roxana Volunteer Fire Department. If you take the 320 lots at the $250 per unit contribution, you're looking at a total contribution of $80,000 that would exist throughout the life of this project to the Roxana Volunteer Fire Department. In addition to that, the applicant is proffering that the governing documents of the Future Property Owners Association for the community will require, on average, a unit to contribute $10 per month to the Roxana Volunteer Fire Department. I say that it's on average $10 per unit per month because it is anticipated that the various housing styles, one of them might be a little lower than that, another housing style might be a little higher, but the average would be $10 per unit for an annual contribution to the Roxana Volunteer Fire Department of $38,400 per year. At the beginning of this presentation, I talked about the planning that occurred in two particular ways for this project. The first was the location of these properties in relation to the various land planning tools that provide guidance all the way from the town of Millville to the county, and then of course up to the state level. And that in all of those documents, this is indicated to be a growth area. The second was the design elements of the specific site itself. When you look at the features of the site and ways to create a superior design to integrate the existing features of the property and then maintain the character of the area as Millville by the Sea expands west to meet this property. The description that the comprehensive plan includes with respect to the coastal area states that it can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. It goes on to state that medium and higher densities, and it refers to medium and higher densities as something between 4 to 12 units per acre, can be appropriate in certain locations, and then lists a series of factors that the Planning Commission and County Council would consider. Those factors include where there is central water and sewer, where the property is near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers, where it's in keeping with the character of the area, where there is adequate level of service, and then other considerations may exist. This property has central water and sewer available. It is near commercial uses and employment centers. As you travel on Route 17, you can get to many employment centers in commercial areas. It's also in keeping with the character of the area. Most notably, you saw the conceptual plan for the West Village of Millville by the Sea, and this is a very similar mixture of homes. And of course, as mentioned before, DelDOT has confirmed that there is adequate level of service. With the planning to match the state strategies maps, the comprehensive plan, and a superior living environment, the protection of that wooded wetland area which would exist within this site to keep that from being disturbed. The additional setbacks that I mentioned around the eastern, southern, and western boundaries of the property with a fully amenitized community, streetlights on both sides and sidewalks on both sides of the streets with the walking paths that you saw to connect all the various open spaces and the mixture of housing styles and choices. Those are the elements of a superior design or a well-planned well-designed community as referenced in both the comprehensive plan, the zoning code, and the state strategies map. As I conclude my presentation, the one thing that is unique about this change of zone application, typically, as the commission is familiar, in a change of zone application, there aren't conditions of approval. Of course, because this request includes a residential plan community overlay, this is one of the very few change of zone applications where there can be conditions, and almost certainly would be conditions on this. I have a proposed set of findings and conditions that I'll hand to Mr. Whitehouse. And as those are being make their way over to Mr. Butler, I'm certainly not going to take your time up this afternoon and review all of them. I just wanted to highlight three of the proposed conditions. And the first that I wanted to highlight is condition K, which is located at the bottom of page 5 and top of page 6. And I'm highlighting it just because that is a description of the amenity areas. As has become my typical practice, there's a minimum size that's shown for both the clubhouse and the surface area of the pool. And the minimum size of the clubhouse would be 2,000 square feet, and the water surface area of the pool would be 1,800 square feet. As the commission's familiar with, often you see amenity plans as part of the site plan review process. So those would be, the benchmark starting points for that. Condition Q contains the applicant's proffer that I mentioned just a few moments ago regarding its contributions toward affordable housing and emergency services. And again, those are tied to the building permit process. And then right below condition Q, condition R is the applicant's proffer regarding future property owner association contributions with that average of $10 per unit per month. Also included in the language for R is a language stating that if the state or county were to enact something that would supersede this regulation, so that individuals wouldn't be, for lack of a better term, double taxed on a fire or EMS. That concludes our presentation this afternoon. I'm happy to answer any questions, and myself and the staff would look forward to answering any questions that the commission or its staff may have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions, so we'll start with Mr. Mears.
I don't have a question at this time, but I do have a comment. I'm going to hold my questions till after the public comments. You referenced Millville by the Sea over and over, which is a couple miles from this application. If we're going to compare the two, Millville by the Sea is on arterial roadways, and Burton Farm Road is not an arterial roadway. So you're free to comment.
Sure. Millville by the Sea is adjacent to this property. It runs right up to this border right here. The property is Millville by the Sea.
It's undeveloped.
It's currently being developed. And again, they just got their plans for, I'm trying to change pages here.
I thought that side of the property ended up on Horseplay Way.
Can you give me in between? Yeah. I'm right in between those two pages on this mouse.
Farm Road.
Next page.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Thank you.
It's on Powell Farm Road.
So this is Millville by the Sea. This is 17 over here. But Millville by the Sea, this is Powell Farm Road. And then this is Burton Farm Road. And then this is the property we're talking about right now.
Yeah, that threw me when you said that. All right, I retract my statement.
And frankly,
well, you're correct in saying that it's not an arterial road.
This is a, as I mentioned earlier, the only sections that have final approval, I mean, frankly, they're recorded are A1 and A2, which is this area right here.
Which is currently under construction.
Which is right, which is currently under construction. They can go in whatever order they want. You can see that along Burton Farm Road, as you get closer to Burton Farm Road, this is all townhouses that are shown here, and then there's a mixture of townhouses and some single families that exist. This boundary right here is the municipal limit of the town of Millville, and also correspondingly the western edge or boundary of Millville by the Sea.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Butler?
Not right now.
Mr. Collins?
None for me, thank you.
And Mr. Allen? Okay, I have a couple questions. So can we go back to the other map where it shows the back of the property? Where's that meet up with Horseplay Way?
You're talking about this location right here. That's Horse. This right here is Horseplay Way.
Okay. Isn't there an active airstrip there on the Guy Morin property?
Not an airport recognized by the comp plan, but that doesn't mean that there's an airstrip.
There is, yeah. Doesn't Mr. Morin still use that strip? You mentioned Artesian's going to be doing the sewer and the water. So is it going to be a private system on site? They're going to do their own pumping station or treatment on site? There's nothing to tie in there close by, is there? Are you tying into the Millville by the Sea, the rear of their property?
Ultimately, there would be new enforcement. There would not be treatment on the site. It would be a pump station that pumps into Artesian's system for water and sewer.
Okay, so it's a station on site. That was near lot 23 or something.
I was going to say, the location, if we can go back to the site, I think the location.
I think it was lot number 23 or something. It was in front of that. That's where the pump station would be. And it's going to force main into what Millville by the Sea is, where you're connecting there?
It will force main into Artesian's system. I would assume that it's Millville by the Sea's system. But it will force main into Artesian's network of water and sewer.
Okay. Did we hear anything back from the school district? We did get a response. I didn't see.
We did notify.
I saw the notification. I didn't see a response.
Yes, but we did not receive a response.
Okay. All right. I think that's all I had. Anybody else have anything from planning and zoning? Okay.
Just one question, just based on the proposed conditions that you mentioned. When does if this were to get approved on R, the $10 per dwelling unit, when does that begin? It's $38,400 total annual contribution, realizing that the $10 is an average. But, obviously is it going to be $38,400 from day one, first unit's built, or is it going to be an annual contribution as units are brought online?
Right, it's an annual contribution as units are brought online. So the 38.4 is at full build out.
Okay.
That would be, up until then,
okay.
You'd have, the first year, obviously a much lower number than as the site is developed, those numbers go up and reach the 38,400.
Okay. Because as each building permit is, from what you proposed, each time a building permit's pulled, there's gonna be a contribution to Roxana of $250. So that occurs at the building permit, and then that would also trigger that unit's $10 from there forward.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
No, that was it. I just had that, because I read the condition and it wasn't clear to me when that started.
I actually did have another question, and maybe I missed it during your presentation. You're not required to do any improvements on Burton Farm with DelDOT, where there will be any improvements other than just your entrance?
At the entrance, you have to improve your frontage on the road to the functional classification of the roadway. So
it's just going to be a turn lane?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. If you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anybody has an interest in your application. Is there anybody that would like to speak in favor of conditional, or excuse me, change of zone number 2024, the Christopher Companies? Speak in favor? Is there anyone like to speak in opposition? None? Okay. Is there any other comments? Or does anybody have any more questions? Anything?
What comment?
I have nothing.
No?
Yeah, and there were no public comments submitted online either, so that's a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'll just make a comment on the record that when I went to visit the property, that is a small road, Burton Farm Road. I'm very familiar with that, but then to get in through the alley and going back onto the property just feels like this is just kind of stuck in the middle of a farm field with a lot of stuff there. It's going to put a lot of traffic out on that road, but okay. Are there any?
That's my feelings. That's why I mentioned the arterial road.
Right.
Yeah, I'm also concerned about the condition of that roadway. It seems very narrow, no shoulders. but I'm also concerned that we aren't getting any input from the school district. What are the odds that we're going to get input from the school district anytime soon?
We certainly could follow up with them and provide them with a reminder.
I would like us to leave the record open for input from the school district. I know that that has a lot of interest in the public. We would like to get the school system input.
Okay. All right, so do I need to set that on the record to leave?
Well, when we refer back.
Okay.
I would just note that in the record, and I'm not suggesting you handle this one way or another, but this comes up frequently. I mean, Ms. DeVore sent this out on Thursday, April 17th, so it's been, you know, May, June, July, you know, almost more than 3 months at this point without a response. So, you know, and it was sent to the Indian River School District. My concern is that we've given them a substantial amount of time. I don't want to hold up the process. And I would also add, just for the benefit of the commission, they still have an opportunity to comment because it still has to go to county council. The commission just makes a recommendation on this one. And the county council hearing is probably not for another couple months at this point, so maybe September, October.
Correct. And what we could do is county council get a memo of any recommendation from the commission along with the minutes of the meeting. What we could do is, if it allows for processing of the application per the current timetable, we could just send a copy of that memo to the same email address and contacts and say, if you have any additional comments, they'll be reported to county council as an alternative.
I didn't realize the date was back from April.
Yeah, no, and that's why I went and looked. I'm not saying that you don't do that. You know, I don't want to talk you out of holding the record open, but at the same time, it's not like it's been, you know, just a couple of weeks either.
I'm okay with closing the record.
Well, so what you need to do is just close the public hearing at this point.
Is there any more comment before I close it? Okay.
I'm more concerned about the roadway.
Okay. Seeing no more comment, I will close the record.
Close the public hearing.
I'm sorry. Close the public hearing for change of zone number 2024, the Christopher Companies.
Yep.
Okay, that completes our public